Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And God, we just pray that your word would go into our hearts today too. Let even as we prayed for the kids, let it be the same for us, Lord, that the seeds of your word be planted. And Lord, we pray that you would cause them to grow and bear fruit. Lord, help us to know your ways. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Just bless this message this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just talk about that this morning. And I want to start out with Proverbs 3, just verse 5 by itself here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And the one thing that God impressed upon me, and sometimes I don't want to call them visions, but I get ideas or thoughts in my mind that help me to see what it means in a better way. This whole thing of lean not on your own understanding, a lot of times when I'm leaning on my own understanding, and what I mean by leaning is really trusting in what I know and trusting in my experience and my, you know, years of experience in ministry and in life and all of that stuff. And when I begin to trust in those things and lean on those things, it's a little bit like, I don't know if you can picture this, down in Lake Michigan, there's these, you know, cliffs that kind of go down to the lake there. And, you know, as kids, we used to play down there. I grew up in Cudahy. And there were some dangerous places to play. But there are times when there's a little fence or a little something to protect people from falling over the edge. But leaning on our own understanding is a little bit like standing at the edge of a cliff, and there's this little fence blocking the way, but it's all rotten and falling apart. And you lean on that thing, and you're going over. And a lot of times, that's what leaning on our own understanding is a lot like. I was just impressed by that. You know, God was showing me, you know, you may know a lot of stuff, but you don't know enough. And you don't know everything. And I don't. But too often, I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm on my experience. And to some degree, that's okay. But leaning on our own understanding is really not a safe thing to do. We always ought to, as the second half of that verse says, acknowledge him in all of our ways. God, I may know some stuff. I may have been in this situation before and I knew what to do then. But just because that's what I did then doesn't mean that that's what you want me to do this time. So, as some of you know, Lois and I have been working with her mom's house and getting it prepared for sale, and that's been a lot of work. But there's been decisions to make in that whole process. And I'm talking about, worldly stuff, but I'm talking about decisions to make, like, first of all, what realtor and what should the asking price be, and the counter offers and the offers, and, you know, what should we fix and what shouldn't we fix, and, you know, a lot of stuff. And we've really had to spend a lot of time in these last probably month and a half just got saying, God, we sort of know what we ought to do, but could you show us what we should do and what we should just say, well, let that be, take care of this, you know. And in our ways, and I wouldn't say in all of our ways we've acknowledged him, but we're trying to do that. We're saying, God, just show us. God, make it clear to us, because you're a whole lot smarter than we are. Just because we've got a little bit of experience, that amounts to just about nothing. You know, I mean, when you think about it, this is what we need, and this is what we have in the way of wisdom and understanding. So God's got to fill in the rest. And he wants to do that, but he wants us to acknowledge him in all of our decision making. And I know that all of us have different situations in life, but we all have decisions to make. We all have different things that we face, that, you know, that we got to come to a conclusion or know what to do. And so But leaning on our own understanding is just not the way to go. It's acknowledging God in all of our ways and saying, God, help me. And sometimes God will say, okay, the idea that you had was right. Just go with that. But sometimes he'll say, no, be patient, wait. Don't do anything with that today. I'll show you when to do something. You know, sometimes our biggest issue is sometimes timing. You know, we get this idea we got to take care of something and we got to do it right now. And God is saying, there's a few things I got to take care of and get squared away ahead of time. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I'm going to tell you to wait and be patient. And so it's really an exercise in learning how to trust God. An exercise in patience, too. You know, some of us want to get it done now, and, you know, it's got to get taken care of immediately, this second. And then sometimes we're the opposite. Well, I'll take care of that later when God is saying, you got to address that right now. So timing is really, really important, and that's why acknowledging God is important in that, because he will give us insight into the timing of things. Let me just read a verse out of 2 Corinthians here. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, this is the Apostle Paul writing, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think one of the things that I've been confronted with lately, and maybe some of us, I am not as strong as I think I am. And you are not as strong as you think you are. You know, I mean, yeah, we're Christians and we have the victory and we're overcomers, and I understand all of that. We are all of that. But listen, if it's not leaning on the strength of God and his ability to be a victor and to be a conqueror, then if it's on us to be that, it's a lot like leaning on that rotten fence again. You're not as strong as you think you are. And that was brought home to me this week. We were at an event on Friday where there were a couple of speakers there, but one of the speakers, he and his wife, a man named Andrew Brunson. And maybe some of you are not familiar with Andrew Brunson. A couple of years ago, he was in jail in Turkey. Now, Andrew Brunson and his wife went to Turkey and spent about 23 years as missionaries in Turkey, planting churches. And Turkey is predominantly Muslim country, antagonistic to the gospel, antagonistic to Jesus Christ. And yet, they were having some degree of success planting churches and meeting with groups of believers and discipling them. And, you know, he's been in Turkey doing this for 20-some years. And one day, the authorities come and arrest him and his wife and put them in jail. And this was a couple of years ago now, about maybe 2.5 years ago or more. But as Pastor Brunson was beginning to speak and share some of the things that he learned in that whole experience, see, he had prepared himself for the day when persecution would come and that he might be jailed. And he knew all the things to do. You know, he was seeking God's face. He was being with God daily, being in the presence of God, experiencing just having a close personal walk with God. So he knew that, well, if persecution comes, it's not necessarily going to be easy, but I'm going to get through it, and God is going to take me through it. God's going to help me. He's going to give me the strength and time that I needed. And as Andrew was sharing, he was saying that, he was feeling like, okay, this is not an easy thing to go through, but I'm prepared for it. And after a few months in jail, he realized how weak he really was. You know, and now here's a guy he's given his life for the gospel. He has been there planting churches in a dangerous place, and now he's in the middle of real trouble, big time trouble. He is sentenced for acts of terrorism or something, whatever their accusations were, to 3 life sentences in a Turkish prison. And I know that back in those days, when that was happening, I know we knew about it and we were praying for him and his wife. His wife was released about 2 weeks afterwards, but he was kept in jail, and it was a really difficult ordeal. And knowing that he was facing a sentence that I'm never going to come out of a Turkish prison. I will always be here the rest of my life. Till I die, I'm going to be here. And as he shared, it touched my heart because I thought, here's a guy who is, in my estimation, super Christian. A guy who's really doing it, serving God, you know, and just honoring God with his life. And here he says, here I am a few months into my sentence and just going, questioning God and saying things that I never ever thought I would say. God, are you there? God, where are you? What's happening? You know, and I'm not trying to share a story of someone who denied Christ. He didn't. But he described how close he came to just walking away from God there in that prison. And yet, when he came out of it, and as he was sharing on Friday, he was saying, you know what? It was the grace of God all the time. The grace of God the whole way. It was the grace of God that kept me from falling and kept me with him, even though I didn't feel his presence, even though I didn't sense him being there with me. I know that he was. And I relate that to all of us and to myself, because I'm just going, yeah, I'm a pretty strong Christian. You know, if somebody comes up to me and says, yeah, you're one of them stupid pastors who believes in Jesus, well, I can handle it. I can handle it. You know, I can put up with all of their insults and their taunts and their jokings and whatnot. But how strong am I really? How strong are you really? You know, it's the grace of God that's going to carry us and get us through. It's not mostly the grace of God and a little bit of oomph on my part. You know, it is the grace of God. It's the grace of God that will keep us, that will help us, that will strengthen us. And, you know, for us, we've got to learn how to lean on God. So when those times come, if you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, just remember the grace of God when it gets hardest, when it gets most difficult, when the biggest trial comes. No, the grace of God will take you through it. You just got to trust him. And the grace of God will keep you from even denying him. Amen. My strength is not my own. I mean, maybe that's, we quote scriptures and we say things, yeah, it's not me, it's God. And then we go ahead and live life with our own strength and on our own understanding and all of that. John 15, Jesus is speaking here, starting at verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, that's really the bottom line. Without me, you can do nothing. You think you're accomplishing something for God? Without Jesus, you're on your own. And it's going to be fruitless, because Jesus is talking about bearing fruit. He's also talked about, maybe it's in that same chapter, bearing fruit that remains. But we are to be fruitful Christians, but the only way that we can be fruitful Christians is if we're abiding in him We're leaning on Him. We're trusting Him. Amen. And that's really what it's all about, because without Him, we can't do anything. I mean, yeah, I know people say, oh, I can do lots of stuff without Jesus. Yeah, but nothing that's of any eternal value. Nothing that counts. Nothing that really matters. I want to just talk a little bit about Him teaching us how to lean. And this is a prayer. It's over and over in the Psalms, but in other places in the Scriptures. The prayer is, it goes like this: teach me, Lord. I think that phrase, teach me, Lord, is over and over again in the Scriptures. Teach me, Lord. Psalm 25. Not sure if I'm going to read the whole. Yeah, I will. Show me your ways, O Lord. This is Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I want to just highlight just part of what is being said in that psalm. It is the humble that he teaches. The proud aren't going to learn anything from God because they already know everything. I know there's the joke sometimes that if you ever need to know anything, ask a teenager because they know everything. But maybe not all of them, but but sometimes we're like that. We know everything. Somebody tells us something and we go right away, yeah, I know that. I mean, I've been a pastor for lots of years, so you're not telling me anything I don't already know. You know, there are times when I need to just receive what God's got for me, and sometimes God wants to speak to me through someone who maybe is not eloquent. Maybe they're a little vulgar even at times, and maybe they want to say something to me. But I need to ask myself the question, God, are you trying to teach me something? See, humility says, well, I could be wrong on this. Humility says that maybe I don't have my act completely together. Maybe I don't know everything there is to be known about this particular situation. Maybe I should listen. And even maybe somebody who's talking to me who's a little rough and tough and they're not expressing it the right way, maybe God is trying to say something. You know, maybe God is trying to teach me. And humility will say, God, teach me. Even if it comes through a vessel that I don't necessarily care for or whatever. The humble he teaches his way, and all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I want to just talk about that whole area of humility. Now, I know that's a whole message in itself, the area of humility, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is something that a lot of times I read all the way from chapter 1 or from verse 1, but I'm just going to read the second half of it here. 1 Peter 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need the grace of God. We need, and God gives grace to the humble. Amen. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And sometimes the humbling that God may allow things into our lives that are hard, that are difficult, whether they're physical or financial or just emotional things. And yet, what we need to say is, God, are you trying to teach me something? Are you trying to show me something? I think back to a time when I changed jobs from a job that I loved and worked, you know, paid well and all of that, and I moved to a job that I really felt like God sent me to, and, you know, to help a friend, a Christian brother. It turned out to be a huge bomb. It just did not work out at all. And I remember every day driving to work. It was about a 45-minute drive to work. I'm thinking, you know, the place I used to work at was about 10 minutes away from home. But every day I was saying, okay, God, I'm in your classroom. If you're trying to teach me something through this, then I want to learn. I want to understand. I want to know what you're saying. And I think when difficult times come, sometimes, I mean, we can ask the question, why, God? We can ask the question, God, is there something here that the devil is doing that I need to rebuke him and tell him to get, you know, get lost? Or, God, are you trying to teach me something through this circumstance? Humility says, God, I'm willing to be taught, even if it hurts a little bit. You know? I mean, the Christian life isn't just all sorts of ease and fun stuff. I mean, there's some difficulties that come, and difficulties come, I believe God allows them sometimes to help us to grow. You know, and whether, I mean, we know that He works everything out for good. Sometimes when hard things happen and things that we don't understand happen, God's got a purpose that He doesn't always tell us, you know, what the purpose is. He doesn't always fill us in completely on every detail as to why. As I've said before here, you know, most of the time when we say, why, God, He answers back, do you trust me? He doesn't give us the answer. But humility says, God, if you're trying to show me something, help me to see it. If you're trying to teach me something, help me to learn it. You know, that's what leaning on Him is all about. Show me your way. Teach me your way. Amen. One of the other things that was kind of brought home to me, at least on Friday when Pastor Brunson was speaking, and there were a couple other speakers that had some pretty good things to say, is the direction that we're going as a nation and as a world, and, you know, all of the things that are changing pretty rapidly, things that are happening a lot quicker than we expected. And, you know, the message, at least to me, was coming, you know, we haven't got that much time left. Now, I'm not going to tell you Jesus is going to come again this afternoon or this week or this month or this year, but He's coming. Jesus is coming soon. And we know that the Bible has all sorts of things to say about things that will happen and precede that event of His return. Difficult things, hard things. And if you're not being tested now, if you haven't been tested lately, I just want to say times of testing are coming. God is in the process of purifying His bride. You know, he's trying to shake out everything that doesn't belong there in the church, in the lives of believers. And so there's a sifting going on. The stuff going on that God is working on to purify His bride. Amen. Let me just read here from 2 Peter. This is a passage where Peter is talking about some of the scoffers and some of the people who say, yeah, you people keep telling us all about how Jesus is coming again. Where is He? You've been telling us that for years. Well, it's still going to happen. But Peter, in chapter 3, starting at verse 10, says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's a mouthful. That's a lot of things to think about. And then he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's a good question. You know, Peter asked the question, you know, if everything that you see is going to get burned up, everything that you're relying on and trusting is really going to amount to a big fat nothing and ashes, what kind of person do you need to be? What kind of, in a life of godliness and conduct, you know, just following God and listening to Him and obeying His commands. Let me just go on here. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the elements, the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Amen. You know, there's a new heavens and a new earth coming. And I'll just say this morning to all of us and any who might be listening on an audio. If you're not ready for that day when Jesus breaks open the sky and comes back, every eye is going to see Him. If you're not ready to meet Him in that day, if you're not ready, if that happened right now, you know, would you be ready? I know that that's what convicted me many years ago. I wasn't ready. I became convinced that Jesus was coming, and I wasn't ready to meet Him. And if you're in that position right now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to call on God, to say, Jesus, I need You. It's acknowledging Him and acknowledging that He died on the cross for you, so that you could have a future with Him in heaven. Amen. And so, with that, I just want to say, those of you who aren't right with God, or maybe there's some things about your walk with God that are not what He would want, today's a good day to make up your mind and say, I'm going to change that. I'm going to start following God. I'm going to start walking with Him. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding anymore. I'm going to lean on Him. If Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life, then I'm going to lean on that. I'm going to trust in that. I'm going to believe that there's no one that comes to the Father except through Him. Amen. And so with that this morning, I just want to conclude and say Jesus is coming. Times are coming that are going to be difficult. There are times of trial. We see in other countries that are going on for Christians. Our government put on some pretty massive pressure on the government of Turkey at that time. Turkey's stock market lost $50 billion in one day because of some of the things the U.S. did just for one pastor and his wife to come out of Turkey. Think about it. Yeah. God will go to great lengths for you. You may be facing three life sentences, but God'll make a way. Amen. I hope you're not facing three life sentences. But I'll tell you what, you're facing a death sentence if you don't know Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank You, Jesus. Let's stand up this morning and just conclude in a prayer.